here's a fact. Those of you who embrace the power of artificial intelligence and how you can use it to create leverage and empower your jobs will continue to be here 3 years from now. And those of you who don't are going to be replaced by those who do. And if we don't harness the power of artificial intelligence, we're going to be replaced by companies who do.
I'm really worried about people getting fired. And I'm here with David Asano, the founder of Business Nitrogen. We're going to talk about who gets fired first when AI hits your company and how to actually avoid that and actually how to benefit from AI and train your people on how to use it, because this is just a massive topic and really important right now. So many people I speak to are really terrified about their jobs. There have been so many people who have been laid off. In particular, middle management seem to be suffering at the moment, and 300 million jobs are actually going to be displaced by 2030, according to McKinsey. And obviously new jobs are going to be created, but in the meantime we need to sort of do something about it. So I'm very privileged to be joined by you, David, because I know you're an expert in a lot of things that are hugely related to these important topics.
Well, thanks for having me here. You know, it's interesting digging down this rabbit hole of layoffs and artificial intelligence and training and replacement and what's going on. And I remember about 3.5 years ago, I had a meeting with my team and I said, you don't see it now, but AI is going to be normalized and it's going to be very powerful. And here's a fact. Those of you who embrace the power of artificial intelligence and how you can use it to create leverage and empower your jobs will continue to be here 3 years from now. And those of you who don't are going to be replaced by those who do. And how true that statement has become. And by the way, I said, and if we don't harness the power of artificial intelligence, we're going to be replaced by companies who do. And today, it's not just utilizing it. It's learning how to utilize it at the best way possible and how to become a prompt boss, how to harness the power of it to create leverage. I had a conversation with a team member of mine yesterday. He's been with me 14 years. And he said something to me. He said, you told us that we had to use this, but now I can get stuff done faster, which means we don't have as much work. And I said, here's the thing. If you didn't learn how to use it, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now, because clients want what they want. Companies want what they want, and they want it faster, and they expect almost instantaneous results. So you have to be able to balance results versus execution. It's funny. I was on with a new potential client. I did a deep dive business blueprint, like a 24-month 10X business blueprint for them. And there was typos on my slides. And I said, I apologize for the typos. And I said, I remember giving a talk once to a couple hundred doctors. And I noticed there was a typo on my intro slide. I said, how many of you noticed the typo? Almost everyone raised their hand. I said, how many of you are about to discredit anything I was going to say from here on out because of that typo? And they laughed. And I said, I asked that question because I know your personality. You're a high C and a disc you're detail oriented. I said, listen, I've built multiple 8-figure businesses. I've helped clients that I've worked with generate over $750 million. If you discredit what I say, you're going to do it at the harm of your business. So where I may need spell check, because that is not my greatest strength, the strategies I'm going to give you will help you multiply and grow your business. And they all laughed and they were all there, and it was ended up being good talk. So I tell you this because yesterday, the conversation with the client, he laughed and he says, I'm glad there's that typo there. I said, what do you mean? He said, because I know you actually wrote it. And I just looked at him. He says, so many people just spit out AI. He said, because you've had multiple typos in here, I actually know that you did it. And I thought that was interesting. So it's harness. It becomes a little bit of a balance these days of using AI. And by the way, I did use AI to help me get the strategy to flesh through all the different thought processes I had and put in a logical order. But when I was making the edits in there, obviously I put typos in. And one of the lessons here is perfection actually can hurt you these days. So you want to make sure that you're putting the human element there.
Wow, that's interesting. I've noticed that actually with a lot of things recently, because I really notice these details. There are things that ordinarily, maybe a few years ago, I might have looked at and gone, oh, that's really bad. But actually now it's the opposite. And I've noticed this specifically, consciously, and it's absolutely really interesting. But we're at a point now where there's so much knowledge available and roles are changing so rapidly. You've got the CEO of Microsoft saying, look, you either embrace AI or there's the door. You've got, you know, layoffs all the time, right? But then on the other side of things, you've got people who are creating new jobs, creating massive audiences by being themselves, right? And being authentic. And I think that is something that is really, really interesting for me. And digging into this series, how on earth people are going to survive for the next 15, 20, 30 years in this age of, you know, augmented intelligence is what I'm going to call it. Because the moment you outsource your intelligence, you become more dumb. I mean, look, there have been studies with MIT that have turned around and said, well, actually, people are becoming dumber when they use AI because actually they're not thinking. So this is why what you were saying before we sort of came on here about how people use it and how these workshops that you're coaching sound really, really valuable. Because if you can't prompt the AI because you're not a subject matter expert within the specific field that you're using it for, I personally think you're in big trouble, because you're going to make mistakes that AI just spits out. I mean, we're talking about word language models here, right? It just spits out just garbage, right? In many cases.
It will be garbage. And, you know, you'll have it write copy and it's never created a unique mechanism. It doesn't understand your audience. It doesn't understand the pain challenge problem. It doesn't actually put in the social proof, or if it does, it makes stuff up. And, you know, you need to still, I'll give you an example. I know that study that you talked about, and the reason that people are getting dumber is they're just saying, write me an email that does this. They're not thinking. However, if you, like we were talking before we went live, how I did what I normally would do a planning day, I did a ChatGPT assisted planning day where I did the prompt engineering, the deep dive, the thought process, and having it challenge the client it's like having a team. Like, it's like if we had a team literally strategizing what the mission, vision, values of, what's the core purpose of the company, and getting concrete so that way everyone on the team had a core the vision that this person had that he hasn't been able to articulate. And then you're using artificial intelligence as your best thought partner. And me as a consultant, this person is paying me to help him. And I'm not just helping him. I brought in artificial intelligence and did a three-way conversation in order to accomplish more faster. And when it came up, the client's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Where under normal circumstances, we would interview him for probably about the same 3 hours. Then we would spend 3 to 4 weeks going through the recordings, brainstorming, coming up with ideas, and then getting a result. Well, guess what? We now are able to compress time, and that's what people want. Compressing time, creating leverage, getting more done faster. And the better you understand how to think with AI and how to have that conversation and challenge it and have it challenge you, you're going to get more done faster and you'll get better at it. And that's what I started doing is teaching entrepreneurs and teaching their teams, teaching companies for their members how to harness the power of it. And yeah, it's amazing, because you mentioned that I have a lot of younger people I've worked with, and they think that they know because they can just type in there and get an answer. But then if you start probing, you know, well, what about this? Well, it's missing this. That is where the disconnect happens, because they haven't had that lived experience yet. And that's where, if you're in middle management right now and you're listening to this, it is more important than ever for you to really learn how to harness the power of it, because a lot of companies are looking at people who have gray hair like I do. As both of us do, as dispensable, because they think that artificial intelligence, and when we can show them what we can do differently with it, that, and because of our lived experience, we can add insights that it won't think on its own. Because, and the other thing is with artificial intelligence, it's always going to blow smoke up your ass. It's going to make you think that everything that you're coming up with is great. And so you need to have it challenge you. You need to, part of your engineering of the prompts is make it critical thinking, make it challenge you, make it look at all different aspects so that you could get a better result.
AI is rewriting the rules of business. For non-technical leaders, the risk of becoming obsolete is real. But you don't need to panic, and you don't need to learn how to code. My name is Nat Skula. I'm an ex-IBM futurist, and after 500 interviews with global executives, I've built the definitive blueprint for career success and survival. Influential Visions shows you exactly how to stay irreplaceable when AI can replace pretty much anyone else. No complex theory, just proven strategies. Subscribe to protect your professional future and start your $1 trial to Monday Influencer at the link below. Your competitive advantage starts now. You just said so much. It really resonates with me. That's why I'm just grinning away. For everyone listening to this on a podcast, you can't see me, but I'm literally have just been grinning for the last 5 minutes, you know. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you think I'm slightly simple, then that's okay. You can think that. But literally I'm just grinning because that, you know, it's like a mirror, right? The world is like a mirror, and actually talking to you, it's like talking to myself. I have really similar opinions. Yeah. I mean, I took a process that would take a couple of days, streamlined it down, made it multilingual, you know, and those capabilities, as long as it's not Croatian or some really difficult language like that, it actually can generate so much more value for people, because you can really interrogate the artificial intelligence, and you can get that to interrogate the recording, right? And actually it from the transcript, it can tell, and it can actually understand how you're feeling based upon your intent, how you're speaking, what questions you're asking, how you're answering questions. And I find the whole thing really quite fascinating. At the moment, I don't think it is quite as good as a very skilled writer. I mean, I work with Stephen J. Manning. He's been writing copy for 50 years. So, but he uses it to sort of, in his own way, for research purposes, for maybe if there's a word that he can't think that he wants to use, he's not sure if he likes that word, he'll use it to create another word option, and then think about what he's going to. So there are certain ways that we in the business world can kind of use it. But without someone showing you the capabilities, you're going to just end up writing emails. And how dumb is that? Can you not write a one-line email to someone yourself? Like, what do you need to write an email for, right? Like,
or it's unless it's a marketing email. Or it's going to use AI language, and it's going to... And it's going to sound really good to you, but then you're going to wonder why it's not converting, and you won't know. And guess what? The AI is not going to know either.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't know, but it is, there are so much opportunity to kind of use these things to get your message across, to improve your culture at work, which is, I know you're big into that because we just talked a little bit about that as well.
Yeah.
And I think that once we get to grips with how we're going to help people to remain employed within businesses, we're going to give them the tools to use their natural abilities and skills and things that they really love to do to move them into jobs and careers that they like more than the ones that they're potentially in if they're dissatisfied. I think we're in a really, I'm a half glass full kind of guy, right, when it comes to this stuff, like you are, I can see.
Yeah, it's interesting. You said half, you know, the glass half full. I've been told I have such positive expectancy that I could be flying a plane that's about to hit the ground, and I believe that something is going to turn it around at the last minute. And for the most part, it's happened. Right at the last minute, things go right back up. So, you know, that's how I'm programmed. And at the same time, I think that's good because there's a lot of shit that goes on. And when bad things happen, if you focus in on that, you're going to create more. So it's great. Okay, great. Lesson learned, processed. I got it. Let me, what's next? And today more than ever, you need to have that mindset and look at how can I use the technologies to make me better? I just like, it doesn't matter what kind of job you are. If you start thinking about how you can help the company, ideas to help the company more valuable, and then you can put together a plan and articulate it, you become more valuable to the company. It doesn't matter what role you have. But if you don't 100%. Do that, if you don't do that, you'll be replaced by people who do. I mean, it was no different than when I was in my 20s and I was the top region manager for a company, and I got an opportunity to start a new division. Why? Because I said that we should be going in this direction. I came up with ideas. I mean, it was a $68 million company that was 50 years old. I grew a $45 million division over the next 5 years into my early 30s. Wow. And it was because I had a vision and I presented something new, unique, and different. Guess what? Other people in the company were in their late 40s and 50s. And, you know, some of them didn't like me because they weren't doing what I was doing. It's like, I didn't stay in my lane. And today more than ever, you don't need to stay in your lane. You need to help. The more that you can add value to your company, the more the higher ups are going to appreciate it and see it.
100%. And it's so much easier as well to add value with the amount of knowledge that we have and the amount of, I mean, look, you can go away over a week's holiday and you can invest your time in learning completely new skills and you can come back a total expert in something. Yeah. Like literally, you know, I spent some time like studying some of the Google courses. You can do cybersecurity courses. You can do like, you know, and you wouldn't believe the amount of money you can earn when you've got your head screwed on with these kind of skills. It's really quite amazing, actually.
I know it is amazing. It really is. It's cool and powerful at the same time.
But it's also kind of scary, right? Like people are scared, and I think that fear can sort of paralyze them from taking action. And that's one thing that I'm really trying to encourage. I'm trying to encourage people to just literally. I don't like the comfort zone thing because there's a kind of whole thing around that. It's like the fact is whether you've got a comfort zone of being really interested in expanding your mind and doing new things or you don't, you actually have to. And you know, having a job for life doesn't exist. It probably hasn't existed for the last 15 or 20 years. And the people that are sort of 40, 50 now, they're realizing that actually they're the ones who are looking for work. And this is quite worrying, right? And
yeah,
I think that they really need to take some time out to think about where they see themselves, right? And actually do some strategic planning of like, and maybe use a language model to do that planning, right? Like get it to ask you questions. Instead of you asking it questions, tell it what outcome you want and then say, I want you to ask me questions in order for us to create a plan together, right? Like, that's one of the things that I do. I'm big into that.
I've created a couple custom GPTs. Like, when I speak, I give away is free for free. Cool. That help people create their new life plan and interview them. And by the way, it's deep. You could be one of the prompts the night before I was actually, I spoke at an entrepreneur conference that had over 500 people, and I got an idea. And I tend to do this a lot because I was there the first day and I met some people and I could see where their challenges were. And I went down a different path. So the night before, I spent about 7 hours redoing my presentation for the next morning. But I do this a lot. The night before my event, I was re-engineering things, and I came with a prompt idea because it 5.1 had just launched, and I wanted to see. I had this prompt.
To interrupt. Is that GPT 5.1?
Yes, GPT, ChatGPT 5.1.
Right.
And I wanted to see how it operated differently. And I had created a prompt based upon someone's usage. It knows what you're thinking. It knows your personality more so than anything else. It can see blind spots for you. And it's literally one sentence. And I got lost for about 2 hours, literally going through and digging deeper into my psyche. Right. And I told the story when I got up on stage, and it became a live interactive workshop. So I had people doing it right in front of me, and that everyone's like, oh my gosh, how does this know this about me? See, you and I talked about this before we went live. It knows our emotions. It knows how we're feeling just based upon how we're interacting with it, our communication style, our messaging, our response to it. It's not that it gets clues. Like, success leaves clues. Well, everything that we do leaves clues. The challenge is, so many times, because we're preoccupied in our own mind, we're not listening. We may hear things, but we're not listening to what other people are saying. And anyway, I'm sharing this because I've given away a bunch of different custom GPTs that help you create your life plan. What is your, to help you re-engineer what that next year, that next 5 years, that next 10 years, because guess what? We either are going to, everything's going to change. And in fact, people say, well, then the trades aren't going to change. HVAC, air, you know, plumbing, heating, electrical. Guess what? In 10 years, robots are going to be doing all that fixing, not humans. It's almost there. So we're in the fifth industrial revolution right now. It just happens to be artificial intelligence. And I just listened to a video last night, and it was a guy proclamations from 27 years ago of what was going to be live today. The person predicted the pandemic. It predicted the mRNA vaccines. It predicted artificial intelligence. And you're thinking, how did this person know this? How did they have this crystal ball? It was pretty crazy. And you could tell it was an old school video, and I don't think it was via AI. And we are in that age. Things are going to change. And what are things going to be like 5 years from now? I really have no idea. What I can say is, the more you embrace it today, the more upside you have. And if you've lost your job, great. How do I use artificial intelligence to reinvent myself? How do I make myself more valuable to that next employer? Or how do I start something on my own? It doesn't matter. You can start at any age. My grandfather and grandmother, he quit his job at 50. She was 49. He's not alive anymore, obviously, because I'm older. But he started over at 50 years old and built himself into something amazing. I'm 57 now. And I'm like, I'm reinventing myself again now in artificial intelligence.
You know, I'm reinventing myself. You know, you have to every few years, because otherwise it gets stale as well. And it's like, you can only bang your head on the wall a certain amount of times, right? Before it's like, nothing's working. So you're going to carry on banging your head on the wall, or are you going to change and do something different, right, and get different results? Like that's yes. That's the key, isn't it? The classic phrase, you know.
Absolutely. So as we're saying, you got to dig into this. You've got to learn strategies. You've got to harness the power of artificial intelligence so that way you can be more, do more, and have more. Not because it's going to give it to you. You're going to be able to accomplish more when you use it as a collaboration partner.
100%. And in each, the thing is that in each job sector, in each industry, there are people that are using it and they will eat your lunch, right? And if you want someone to come along and to literally take food out of your mouth, right, then just ignore it, right? Look at what happened with a camera like this, right? If you're listening to this, you can't see this, but this is one of the first little spy camera kind of things, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And look at where we're at now. You've got a mobile phone that's got a level on it. It's got a better camera than pretty much, you know, most of the old school cameras. It's got email. It's got, and 30 years ago, it didn't exist. Yeah. So just think about what is going to exist in the next few years. And if you keep your eyes open, you can be part of that. You can generate products. You can make patents. There are so many ways that you can actually create a really amazing life for yourself. And the only person that's actually stopping it from happening is you. And that's the thing that I'm really focusing on at the moment is you are the master of your ship, right? You are the captain of your ship. And that's the real thing to kind of embrace. And I think when we're younger, we don't really realize that. And at some point in our lives, we sort of wake up. And I woke up at the age of, I don't know, maybe 40, right, or 37, and realized, hold on a minute, I'm in control of my life. And what happens and shows up in my life is based upon the decisions that I made before. So once you get to grips with that, then it's like, aha. What am I going to do to create the next 5 years and 10 years, you know? And I just ignored my father. He was a long-term business planning and strategist. He was Britain's leading business management expert in the 1980s for like 10 years, ex-MIT, corporate planning. Yeah. Like, yeah. What's your 10? He would always say to me, what's your 10-year plan? And I never did a 10-year plan because no one listens to their parents, right? Which is what we were talking about as well before this call, yeah? Before this yes. recording. And so it's like, it's just doing the planning and then doing the work that's going to help you to keep that vision in place. Because it's a vision, isn't it? It's because you're going to get screwed along the way. Nothing's going to work how you want it along the way. And a lot of my guests talk about this. But it's still focusing on that vision that you've got in your mind for what you want your life to be like and what you want your purpose to be like. Because the purpose is the real gold, isn't it? That's the real reward that we feel in, you know, deep inside ourselves. Yeah.
It's what we do and how we produce and how we create and how we add value. It's like you get to the you get the win. It's like, okay, great. What's next? It's like someone rewards themselves with, you know, an amazing car or an amazing watch. And you look at, okay, I got, okay, it's here. What's next? And it's the accomplishments and how we impact people's lives and how we impact humanity sometimes. What can we do to make a positive impact along the way? Family. Okay, those are your kids, if you have kids. These are the things that are the moments that we really should be living for and cherishing that, because at the end of the day, when people get to the end of their lives, no one ever said, I wish I had more toys. They wish they had more experiences. They wish that they spent more time with the kids. That's actually why I took off, you know, the month and went hiking in the Himalayas with my son. Because he invited me and I'm like, I'm not going to say no to this.
Right. Yeah, it's crucial. I take off a few weeks every summer to have my daughter stay, and I work maybe an hour a day maximum for three, four weeks. And there are very few parents that can manage to do that with their kids. Very few. And it's really important, because you need to help them to kind of understand certain things that they're not going to understand themselves, because there's so much information. And this is in my personal opinion, this is the biggest problem that we've got right now, is we're in this information age, right? We've been there for a few years. We've got access to, now we've got more access to, I mean, it's literally ridiculous the amount of information that we've got at our fingertips. You know, 5 years ago, it was ridiculous, but now it's even more ridiculous. And because it's so accurate, and you can learn about pretty much any topic at the click of a button, right? And that is quite overwhelming for a lot of people. And
I think it's amazing. It is so cool. It is so cool. What you said, you could literally take 3 days. I wouldn't say you're an expert. However, what I would say is you take 3 days learning something new, or even 2 days, you know, more than 90% of the people who are even doing it, because most people who are doing something don't take the time to actually study and learn all the different aspects of it.
But the benefits for doing that are far wider than just learning that one topic, because more often than not, it's going to bridge the gap between you having a conversation with someone that you really want to speak to, right? But actually, I'm not saying you're boring, but a lot of people are boring, right? We're becoming irrelevant. This is the point, right? People are becoming totally irrelevant because they're too lazy, or they don't see the value, so they don't take the action. And this is something that I'm just big into, you know, like my mentor and partner and coach, Stephen, he's in his 70s, and he loves to learn new stuff. He's like a total researcher. Like, he goes into research mode. He has to learn, but he doesn't become an expert in everything, because you can't, right? Like you said, David, you can't.
But you're going to bridge the gap,
aren't you? So you're going to talk to someone that would never give you the time of day if you didn't know, for example, how a 3D printer worked. And I'm just learning, like I said to you, about this. And it's not easy, but it's not rocket science either, right? It's a process, yeah?
It is. It's funny you mentioned that, because my father-in-law is 87 years old, and he calls me up and says, "Hey, did you know AI can do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Here's the funniest thing. I was giving that keynote, and I had the recording. I had the recording of it. I did another 3-hour training. It was a virtual workshop, and he was visiting us. And I came upstairs afterwards, and I said, "So what'd you think?" He said, "It was great." And then he says, "Have you thought of AI doing this?" And he's like, and I said, "I actually talked about that." He's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." My wife said he fell asleep within 5 minutes. He's 87. He's sleeping a lot. He was in front of the computer screen sleeping. But the funny thing is, he just launched out a TikTok channel where he's called it, as an AI expert, he calls it antique intelligence.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Kind of funny. I wish my father had done that. He's too late for that now. He's 92, you know, but it's, but going back to what we talked about in the beginning, right? We've gone full circle, haven't we, here?
Yeah.
Right? To, you can learn anything you want, but then it comes back to reality, is you still have the time-honored experts, like they have in Japan in these factories. And businesses, they don't fire the old people. They get them to sit in the cafe and eat some food or have a coffee. And then other people within the business can go and talk to them, and they can mentor them. And like, I'm so into mentoring. Like, it's a massive thing. It's just, without mentoring, people are just leaving the door open, really.
And in the United States, anyway, that doesn't happen a lot. Once you get, it's like you're retired, you're out, and you lose all of that experience. And those people would stay around for less, literally, to come in for a few hours a day and just talk with people.
Yep. Yep. It's just it's really, really important. But I can't thank you enough. I know you got to scoot to another call. And you know, if people want to kind of get hold of you, how do they do that, David?
Businessnitrogen.ai or davidasarno.com.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.